not many. So anyway, you know, we've been having a lot of studies lately, and on the law of Moses. And you know, when I was in out there in the group, I always thought the law of Moses was pretty boring stuff, and I didn't know that much about it because I think a lot of other people thought that too. And so this is kind of a learning thing, and we're not going to go through all the laws, and we're not going to do that. But you know, I was troubled that statements on the law, you know, what is it about the Jews and the law that you know, it certainly had the wrath of Paul. And I read things like this. I just put the law of Moses in there, and this is, I think, the first thing that came up, and it says the law of Moses was abolished, the Ten Commandments, the Sabbath, the law of God. And, you know, I think about it. Does that give us free will now to murder and thieve? You know, is it, if it's abolished, then we can do those things, right? So, you know, I think we can go overboard with what that means. And, you know, yes, the Lord took care of sacrifices. We don't have to do that anymore. And certainly, His death on the cross eliminated a lot of things. So anyway, let's get into that. I think in anything, I learn something every sermon, and I hope you do too. And I think that's always my goal, that we learn something and that we come reconciled to what they're saying when they say such things. The law is abolished. Certainly it's not a license to kill and thieve. So what does that actually mean? What is the law of Moses? And furthermore, you know, they had the Jews. What was Paul trying to tell us when he said that the Jews were, for instance, this statement, let me read it. 1 Nephi 5:99, it goes parallel with a lot of things the New Testament said about what the Jews thought about themselves. And this is the people that came out of there, and this is what they thought about themselves. For they, the other Jews that were in the Jerusalem at 600 AD, for instance, they kept the statutes and the judgments of the Lord and all of his commandments according to the law of Moses. Wherefore, we know that they are a righteous people. You know, were they really? The Lord turned around a few years later and destroyed them. 13 years later, they were utterly destroyed. In fact, he went into Babylon, 608 B.C., somewhere around 600 B.C., and then again in 588, let's call it, B.C., he completely took them out of there. He took them into Babylon, did he not? And so they weren't a righteous people, because God doesn't do that to a righteous people. So they thought highly of keeping the law of Moses. And they thought, we'll keep the law of Moses and we're going to be good. So I've got a question. Does following the law of Moses produce evil? Is that what we can gather from that? Paul would say, God forbid. God forbid. It doesn't. So what was it about the Jews that, you know, got them in that mindset? What was wrong with their thinking? They were following the law of Moses, so they said. So let us look a little deeper into that. And I had to answer it for myself. So I had some questions. And make sure I don't go too many slides here. Romans, I think, bears a lot, tells us what's going on here. But Romans 9:31, and I will hesitate for those out there. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, so now they're calling the law of Moses the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the law of works of the law, and they stumbled at that stumbling stone. So that, they have a lot there, and I want to take that apart a little bit. I got Barnes Notes, a very conservative, well-respected commentary. He has a little bit, I'll read that first. But the Jews, the apostle does not mean or affirm that none of the Jews had obtained mercy. In other words, they weren't all destroyed. But as a people, or acting in accordance to the prevalent principles of the nation, to work out their own righteousness, they had not obtained it. In other words, not all of them were destroyed. A remnant was not. A remnant didn't work out their own righteousness. So it, what he's saying is, and I think most of us agree, they were self-righteous. They were thinking, because I do this, I am righteous. And is that enough to get us into heaven? No. I think we'd all agree to that too. Because they sought it not in faith. Now, I don't know how you know, what does that mean? How can you go into the law of Moses and not, and do it by faith? That, you know, if you think about this, what is he saying? They sought it not by faith. You know, they certainly believed the law of Moses. That's part of faith, isn't it? They believed it. In fact, they believed it so much, they says, we're saved because we sacrificed this animal, and we sacrificed that animal, and we did it, you know, we did all these things on the sacrifices. Therefore, we're righteous. So what does that mean? They sought it not by faith. It's an interesting thing. Yeah, but the other thing I was looking at here, it says, but the law of righteousness, they had not attained the law of righteousness. In other words, they were not righteous. But the law was righteous. The law was good. And that's where we're going. And Paul does say that. But we know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. Other translation is would say, use it correctly. So if it's, if we do it correctly, the law is good. And so the law is a righteous thing. God does not put a law in there that leads to damnation. He doesn't do it. It was to lead them in a certain way. Whether they followed that was up to them. And Paul says they didn't do it by faith, whatever that means. And we'll get into that. And one other point, sorry, I have to go back, and this is going to be a 10-second delay there too. What is it for they stumbled at the stumbling stone? I'm back in Romans 9:31. What does that mean? They stumbled at the stumbling stone. What? Unbelief? If you read a commentary, that stumbling stone is the rock. And that rock, they stumbled on it. They did not recognize Jesus Christ. And if they stumble on Jesus Christ, you got a real problem. So they did not recognize Christ. Was they taught the Christ that he would come? Yeah. They sure were. Now, just read Isaiah. They missed it. They missed it that he would come as a one of them. They missed it. That he would die on the cross. They missed all that. At least, a majority missed it. A good share. As a nation, they missed it. All right, so I'm back on Matthew 22:35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment of the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy man. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love the neighbor as thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And you know what? The lawyer knew that. The Jews knew this law. The law and the prophets all hung on that great two commandments. So this was, you know, this isn't new to them. They knew this. So nothing had changed. You know, the great commandments in the Bible, and they weren't following these things. And you can see this, these two commandments repeated 8 times in the New Testament. It is the core of the Old Testament. It is the core of the New Testament. These two principles hang all the law and the prophets. It's a principle that we have and as being a Christian. So they knew it. The law is righteous and good. Correctly following the law is righteous. Can we say that? 1 Peter 1:10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. And they talked about this. It goes, if you read 1 and 2 Peter, you'll find out he's talking about the world of old, and he's talking about Noah that you guys covered in Sunday school. He preached there for 120 years, I think you said. He was a preacher of righteousness, right? They had the gospel. They had priests, high priests from the very beginning of time. They told them these things. And it says that grace should come unto you. They prophesied that. This grace, this Jesus Christ grace. Searching what, or manner of spirit of Christ, which was in them, which it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ. So Jesus Christ talked through the prophets to the people and told them that he would be suffering on the cross at some future date. It's in the scriptures. They should have known it. And the glory that should follow, unto whom it is revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things. In other words, it didn't happen in their time period, but they were preached at the time of Noah. Several thousand years before this, it was preached unto them, this would happen. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, they called him back then, the King of Israel, the Messiah, different names for him, Jehovah he went by, but he was there to minister unto the people, and he would come in the flesh, he would die in the flesh, and they testified that the Jews didn't know him or recognize him or even pray that they would consider that as their own problem. Jacob 3:4-6. But also all the holy prophets which were before us. So he's saying that all the holy prophets, Jeremiah, Isaiah, all of those guys. Behold, they believed in Christ, the Messiah. They believed it. They knew it. They preached. And they worshiped the Father in his name. Interesting concept. Worship the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, or the Messiah. And also, we worship the Father in his name. For this intent, we keep the law of Moses, it pointing the souls to him. And for this cause, it sanctified unto us for righteousness. It's a sanctification. If they would have followed these Jews, these guys that came out of Jerusalem, followed the law of Moses, and it was counted unto them righteousness. It sanctified them. They were righteous following it because they followed it correctly. And let me give you a couple more. Alma 4. One, two, three. The doers of the law is righteousness to become a saint. Alma 14:74. And they did also bury their weapons according to their brother, according as their brother had. And they began to be a righteous people. And they did walk in the ways of the Lord, and they did observe to keep the commandments and his statutes. Yea, they did keep the law of Moses. For it was expedient that they should keep the law of Moses as yet, for it had not been fulfilled. So they knew of Jesus Christ, and they started even introducing baptisms back then. Looking forward to that Christ. And they were knowing that, you know, just like in your Bible study today, they were, from the day one, they were sacrificing lambs. And they knew the plan of salvation. There were hundreds of high priests even before Melchizedek, there was high priests. And we hear a little bit about that here and there, and we don't have a lot of records on that, but we know Noah preached for 120 years, and he preached the gospel to them. And we also know there was many, many high priests preaching the gospel. So they knew. We just don't have many records when he was into the Gentiles. But they certainly knew it. The Jews definitely were taught this also through Isaiah. We've been going through a study of Isaiah, and you can't see how they could miss it. But they did. And he said unto them, "Why callest me good? Thou art none good but one that is heaven." Let me read that slowly. "There is none good but one, that is God." And I want to throw that out there so you don't think when I start using the words righteousness and saints that I think that we're righteous on our own. It's always through Jesus Christ. Even Jesus Christ said that he wasn't good. He had to have the Father. And, certainly he's good now when he's in heaven. But mankind needs Jesus Christ. And that spirit within us makes us what they call a saint. And I thought it was very interesting that Adam brought this up in a sermon. And I spent some time this week. And I said, is it right that, like we call St. John? And I'm never comfortable when we say St. John. But it is right that we call it St. John. If you're a Christian and you've made that covenant, you're a saint. All right? You can find it 20 times in Psalms alone. All right? The saints. And that's the congregation. That's the congregation of believers. And we're righteous by Jesus Christ. Not in our own deeds, but and we'll go more into that. But Jesus Christ makes us a saint. It makes us righteous, right? And the doers of the law, by following the law and keeping his commandments, were righteous. Correctly following and understanding the law of Moses. Okay, one good one here. Alma 14, 75 through 77. "But notwithstanding the law of Moses, they did look forward to the coming of Christ, considering the law of Moses was a type of his coming," all right? "Believing that they must keep the outward performances until the time that he should be revealed unto them." So they needed to continue the sacrifices. They were a representation. Every sense what you covered today, that lamb that Abel, I'm sure he was, I have an opinion that it was recognized by God because he was taught the plan of salvation. And they continued on with that. And that's why they took the seven animals on the board of the ark. They continued on with that sacrifice. And it was sacrificing those creatures, looking forward to the time that Christ would do that same sacrifice. They knew the gospel. In fact, I'll make a statement. The gospel has changed little over the last 6,000 years or however long you believe it. The gospel has changed little. That plan of salvation has changed little. And we're going to go over that a little bit. Salvation performance until it should be revealed unto them. And then once it was revealed that Jesus Christ had died on the cross, they didn't have to do animal sacrifices anymore. That was done. But the law of Moses, "Now they did not suppose that salvation came by the law of Moses, but the law of Moses did serve to strengthen their faith in Christ." Their law of Moses did not. In and of itself, the law of Moses did not have salvation. That's what Paul said. But following it was righteousness. If they look forward to the Christ that would come. If you do animal sacrifices, that's not saving you. It's looking forward to when Jesus Christ actually died on the cross. That faith in him is what saved him.
You know, and they missed the point. The Jews missed that concept that the Messiah was going to die on the cross, and they, in fact, missed that was the Christ. But they should have been looking forward to that, because that's what all these things were pointing to. It was Jesus Christ that was going to take away, that was going to erase what Adam did before that. Man's nature would by nature is evil, and the Lord brings us back into that. So let me read that again. They did not suppose the salvation came by the law of Moses, but the law of Moses did serve to strengthen their faith. And that's what Paul was talking about, their faith in Christ. And thus they retained a hope through faith unto eternal salvation, relying upon the spirit of prophecy which he spake of things to come. So they missed the faith part, the faith in Jesus Christ, that this Messiah that would come. And if they did that, if they looked forward to the law of Moses, by correctly found it was righteousness unto them. Faith, I gave you this definition. It's in Hebrews 11:1, and I'll wait, and we'll correct this glitch, but not this week. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for. So we know right away that faith has an element of hope. If it doesn't have hope, it's not faith. All right? And substance means steadfast of mind. So faith is the steadfastness of mind of things hoped for, the evidence of not seen. So we haven't seen it. The Lord Jesus Christ isn't here. But we know, we believe, and have a confidence he did what he did, and he is who he said he was. So that's, and the definition of faith is it is a belief, and everybody knows about the belief part, and that's all they want to focus on. I believe Jesus is the Christ. Well, that gets us some way there. You know, that starts off the righteousness thing. But, you know, James says devils believe also. So they know it's true, don't they? And that's not righteousness for them. So it has an element of belief. It has an element of trust. It has an element of hope, for sure. It has an element of faithfulness. And it's interesting that the word faith is only found in the Old Testament a couple of times, but you'll have, you know, 40 times more you'll have faithfulness or faithful in the Old Testament. So they like to translate that faithfulness in the Old Testament. When it comes to the Greek word, they never translate it faithfulness. They always say faith, and they assume we know what faith is, but the world has clouded our vision of what faith is. If it doesn't have action, it's not faith. And just read the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and it tells it by faith Abraham did this, you know, and so forth. They go through all what the people did. It has to have that element of faith. And I think that's what James was talking about when he said faith without works is dead. He's explaining there is no belief or faith without that element of doing something. All right? A deed, an act. You have to do something to prove faith. All right? So just so you know what they're talking about, what Paul is talking about, and what the scripture here was talking about in faith. Okay, saints in the Old Testament. We have a hard time getting our mind around the children of Israel being saints. You know, we bashed them for years, I guess, but there's a lot of souls in heaven that are the children of Israel. And the graves were opened, and many bodies and the saints arose. And that happened in both nations. Both the children of Israel, those were saints. And many of them were of the house of Israel. And they came out after Jesus Christ rose from the dead. They had a resurrection, if you will. That's when the spirit and body, we have a soul that never dies, but the spirit and body is not united until our judgment and resurrection. Okay, that's our resurrection. Our resurrection, then we're judged. That happened at the time that Jesus Christ was resurrected, and then other saints could also be resurrected. Psalms 5:55, and like I say, I could go to 20 verses that talk about the saints of God in Psalms alone. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. You can't read that too many times. Those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. I said that the gospel of Christ has not changed much in the last 6,000 years. They made a covenant with God, and I could turn to Moses where they did that. The children of Israel would make a covenant. It was an oral covenant back there. Now we use a baptism covenant. Some use an oral covenant today. It's not specified in the scriptures. It was back then. And they were to make a baptismal covenant in front of men, and it's supposed to be a hard thing for us to do, and it is a hard thing for us to do. But he wants to see us. He wants to see us humbled. And that's what he wants to see. That's why he doesn't have the oral covenant anymore. But those made it by sacrifice. I won't speculate what they mean by sacrifice. It could be a physical sacrifice, or it could be a sacrifice of animals. I won't go into that. And he exalted, Psalms 148:14, he exalted the horn of his people and praised all his saints, even the children of Israel, and the people near unto him praised the Lord. You know, these people that made a covenant and were faithful through the law of Moses, and faith unto the Messiah, they were his children. They were saints of God. Hosea 11:12. Ephraim compassed about me with lies. So, do you all remember who Ephraim was? Ephraim and Manasseh, who's their daddy? Joseph, absolutely. And Ephraim, and what kingdom were they in? Were they house of Judah, or were they of the other 10 tribes? Is that a hard one? 10 tribes, of the 10 tribes, yeah. They were, in fact, the Samaria was the capital of the 10 tribes. They divided up the kingdom after David. And they had Judah, and then they had the 10 tribes below that. Ephraim had a portion, and Manasseh had another portion. So Joseph actually had, he had the inheritance, if you will. The oldest son gets normally the two portions for every one. And so by being faithful, he received the eldest portion of land, and he gave it to Ephraim and Manasseh. Okay? Ephraim compassed me about with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit. So this is the nation, the northern nation of Israel. And what happened to them in 721 BC? They were taken captive to Assyria. But Judah remained. But he said, Judah ruleth with God, and he is faithful. Like I say, they like using the word instead of faith. They used the word faithful back in the Old Testament. They were faithful with the saints, right? They were saints. They were the saints. God regarded them as the saints of God. Not all of them, but Judah as a whole, he regarded as the saints of God at that time, the time of this writing. There were several times that many times they were saints of God by making a covenant, looking forward to that Messiah, keeping the law of Moses. Let us turn to this. So what does it look like? I was out this week, and we were talking to our brother Scott down in Ohio, and he made a statement that kind of threw me back. He said, you know the Jews, he says, the problem with them, they were self-righteous. And here I am, like many of the sermons, I was doing a sermon on that. I says, yeah? I says, You know, it's interesting you bring that up. I'm doing a sermon on it. And he went on to say, he says, you know, he says, not only that, but he says, I believe the Christian churches, many of them, are in the same boat. And it blew me away, you know, because I hadn't went there. And I says, well, how do you mean that? You know, a lot of times they put us in that boat because we believe in the works of faith. You know, the baptism, repentance, charity. We believe in those things. And so, you know, a lot of times they would put us in the camp of the house of Israel because we believe in walking that walk and following Jesus Christ. And nowadays that's unpopular. They want to just say, believe and trust the Lord saves you, and that's all you got to do. It's not scriptural. It's a new doctrine. Nobody believed that in the Old Testament. Nobody believed that in the New Testament, except those that were damned. But this was not taught until the last few hundred years. But so I had him explain that. And then I said, well, I'm going to look into that. And so these next few slides I have are a representation of his thoughts. He didn't give me this one, but his thoughts on this and some of my looking into that very thought. Let us look at Matthew 7. Yeah. First part of that is talking about not to judge. And, you know, that means we're to judge righteously. And then it goes on because it tells us we're going to judge, you know, in the next few verses. You know, we have to judge righteously. Okay, so starting with verse 12. Therefore, all the things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do even unto them. For this is the law and the prophets. So what does that mean? Whatsoever ye would men do to you, do even so unto them. What is that? Where'd they get that? That's the law and the prophets. Yeah. And you know, that's part of that those two big commandments, is it not? That's the second part, is it not? And that is the law and the prophets. That's a core part of the New Testament. It was a core part of the Old Testament that they absolutely missed. They knew it. The lawyers knew it. Verse 13. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go therein, thereat. So we find several things that we find, you know, that few find the way of the gate and many find the broad way that leads to death, spiritual death, the destruction. And we're told that. So what is that gate that we enter, though? Does anybody have an idea there, the straight gate that we enter as a Christian?
The narrow path.
Narrow path. Good. Rod of iron, good. Baptism, repentance. That's what they mean. That's where we enter. We enter by, we have a faith in Christ. We repent of our sins. We change. We know that we're not righteous on our own. Despite all we do, keeping the law, we're not righteous on our own. We repent of whatever deeds that we've done. We change our life and we get baptized. And that baptism is our covenant. And you look back, and I don't know if I have slides here looking back into that or not. I'm hoping I do. But anyway, we'll look back at the old law. And that covenant we make, we promise the Lord, we're going to do certain things. We're going to come to church. We're going to study His Word. We're going to take the sacrament when we can. That's our promise. And it's not given up when we get old. If we can make it to church, look at Sharon. You know, look at the years we've spent. And she's administered time and time again, and she's strengthened, and she's still here. Faithful. That is the promise we made at the time of our baptisms, that we would endure, and that we would work with the Lord, and we'd repent when we do a bad thing. You know, we'll try to do better the next day.
We're a better Christian today, I hope, than we were last week. That is our promise unto God. That's our covenant that we make. That's the gate that we enter. And then we continue on. Beware of false prophets which come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are raving wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Okay, it just told us not to judge. Now it's telling us we got to watch out for these guys and judge them, right? Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. And if you're not doing your job of judging for your children's sake, you're not doing your job. It doesn't mean that. Judge righteously. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. That's not good. Wherefore, by your fruits ye shall know them. So, I mean, it's one of these, I'm sure it's one of those passages that go in and then go out with that theme. And they ended on the good fruit and bad fruit, and they started with that and they ended with that. It's one of those ignums or whatever it's called in the scriptures. A good tree, sorry. All right. Verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. Doeth the will. That's a work. Many shall say unto me at that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils? And in thy name done wonderful works? And then he professes, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. That sounds an awful lot like self-righteousness. Haven't we done all these wonderful things in thy name? Wonderful miracles, cast out devils, prophesied how wonderful I am. Self-righteousness, exactly what the Jews did. They didn't know him. They were evil. They were false prophets. They didn't speak by the words of Jesus Christ. They spoke by their own. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings and doeth them, there's another work. There's another deed. That's repentance. That's a work. That's a deed. I will liken unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rains descendeth, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. What is that rock? Jesus Christ. Our faith is in Jesus Christ. No matter what we do, it's Jesus Christ that we're aiming for. It is him that brings us salvation. It is him that makes us righteous. It is him that molds us. It is him that hopefully works in us. It's Philippians 2 says, it is hopefully him. And if it's him, if we have the Spirit of Christ, we're a saint. Doesn't mean we're perfect, but it does mean we're in God's children and we're among the righteous. A parallel scripture I'd like to read in Moroni, 7th chapter, in the 3rd verse. I don't have a page number.
763.
763. Thank you, Mandy. This is a whole sermon's on faith, hope, and charity. And if you wanted to read about that, and it's in the 12th chapter of Corinthians, they talk about that faith, noweth dureth faith, hope, and charity. After our baptism, after we made that covenant, we endure in the gospel. We endure in faith, faithfulness, hope. If desires the one thing to live with Jesus Christ, we're going to do those things. And charity. It is our love towards mankind and the love of God that works within us. And those three things are the endurance, hope, faith, and charity that saves us at the last day after our commitment, after our covenant with Jesus Christ. Verse 3,
Wherefore I speak unto you that are of the church, that are the peaceful followers of Christ. Does the devil rage in your heart? You know, it says that in the last days the devil will rage in our hearts. And you know, if you start raging, if the newscasts start raging in your heart, get rid of it. Turn that off, because that's not the love of God raging. The peaceful followers of Christ that have obtained a sufficient hope. Remember that faith, hope, and charity that endures forever? If you have that hope, if that's the number one, your desire to live with Jesus Christ, your actions are going to reflect that. By which we can enter the rest of the Lord from that time henceforth until ye shall rest in heaven. It's the endurance of hope. And now, my brethren, I judge these things of you. So he's judging them, isn't he? Because of your peaceful walk. He sees the Spirit of God in them, that love of God that's in his heart. He sees that of this congregation here. With the children of men, for I remember the word which saith, by their works ye shall know them. For if their works be good, then they are good also. It's a reflection. It's not that we walk good that we're righteous. It's because we're righteous that we walk good. Jesus Christ is in us. He doesn't command us. We're not robots, but he recommends. He recommends to us, and we make the final call. If their works be good, then they are good also. For behold, God saith, and he clarifies it here, a man being evil cannot do that which is good. Well, if he gives his money to the poor, isn't that good? Not so much. A man being evil cannot do that which is good. If he offereth a gift or prayeth unto God, except he do it with real intent. He has a self. He's doing it for an obvious reason. He wants to be seen of men if he's evil. Unless he do it with real intent, it profiteth him nothing. For behold, it is not counted unto him for righteousness. For behold, if a man is evil, he giveth a gift, and he do it grudgingly. Wherefore it is counted for him the same as he retained the gift. Wherefore it is counted evil before God. I'll read one more. And likewise it is counted evil unto a man if he shall pray with not real intent of his heart. Yea, and you know, the Jews did that, did they not? They pray on this hill so everybody could see them. Oh, how righteous I am. Yea, and it profit him nothing, and God receiveth none such. Wherefore a man being evil cannot do that which is good, neither will he give a good gift. A bitter fountain cannot bring forth good water, neither a good fountain bring forth bitter water. Wherefore a man, being a servant of the devil, cannot follow Christ, and if he follow Christ, he cannot be a servant of the devil. So the Lord works within us, is what that amounts to. It's not that our works make us righteousness. It's God blessing our works and living within us that makes us a righteous saint. Book of Mormon 4:39. I think I have just like a couple more slides here. Therefore shall be the murder. Sorry. There shall be murder and robbings and lying. They're talking about our day. You know, this passage here is talking about our day. And the Lord's seen it, and our brother is prophesying. There shall be murderings and robbings. You know, I think there's like three murders a day in Chicago now. All manner of abominations. That's saying good is evil and evil is good, is it not? And living in those things. When there shall be many which say, do this or do that, it mattereth not, for the Lord will uphold such at the last day. I've heard Corinthians, the 7th chapter, quoted, and it lists all those things, like fornication, adultery, homosexuality. It lists all those things out. Being a thief. And it says you will not enter the kingdom of God, but now such are you that you're Christians. You're not of that anymore. And they'll interpret that to say it doesn't matter anymore. I can do those things and still live with God because God covers all my sins. After all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what they'll say. And I've heard it. You can read it online. Just go ahead and quote that. Look up all the references and you'll see that's the propaganda that's being put out there. It doesn't matter. Sin does not matter because I'm covered. God died on the cross. I'm good. And that, again, is self-righteousness. It's righteousness for just believing that God is God. And so I've seen our brother's point on that, and I agree that what the Jews did is much the same as this self-righteousness that's going on nowadays, that sin doesn't matter. I am righteous in myself, and I will live with God just because he died on the cross, and I believe he died on the cross, and I'm always going to believe that. And they say, I can do what I want. He'll uphold it at the last day. Doesn't matter. And Brother Vernon and I have both seen a minister that used to ride around on back of Playboy girls. And he says, it doesn't matter. The rest of you are all hypocrites. I can do this. You know? On a horseback. What did I say? I said something, didn't I say? He rode on a horseback with Playboy bunnies. Okay. To be clear. I'm not saying anything about the rest, but he said he could do anything, all right? Maybe the last slide. No, a couple more. Therefore, the law of Moses wasn't a problem. That wasn't the problem. Therefore, they gathered them together and were filled with baskets and fragments of the five barley loaves, which remaineth over all above. He did it twice. He took these loaves of bread and his fishes, and he fed multitudes twice. And Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because ye saw miracles, but because ye did eat the loaves and were filled. What was important to the Jews? That they ate. They got a good meal. Their hearts were far from God. You know, they did things out of ritual, say, well, you know, what my neighbor going to think if I don't sacrifice that animal? You know, I'm perfect because I did that animal. Their hearts were removed from God. They missed Jesus Christ because they weren't interested in Jesus Christ. You know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, seeing the great miracles Jesus did, and then they conspired how they're going to overthrow him. They weren't interested in those things. They were interested in the power that they had. That was the Jews. The law of Moses was not the problem. They missed Jesus Christ and the faith in Jesus Christ. That was the problem. They missed what was important. They didn't want it. That was the problem. They were not righteous in their thoughts and their hopes. Plan our redemption from the beginning. And I got a couple more slides, actually. I thought I was about done. The plan of redemption didn't change much from the beginning. I threw this out there, and I wanted to throw you a couple of slides. It hasn't changed much since the time of Adam and Eve. It hasn't changed much since the time of Moses. It hasn't changed much to now. It's just a few things that have changed. Plan of redemption from the beginning. Therefore, he sent angels to converse with them, which caused men to behold his glory. And they began from that time forth to call on his name. Therefore, God conversed with men, and he made known unto them the plan of redemption. And this is talking about from the time of Adam, if I'd have quoted all this. and made known to them the plan of redemption, which had been prepared from the foundation of the world. This isn't made up when Jesus died on the cross. The plan of salvation was there from the very beginning. That's why they're sacrificing lambs from the time of Adam and Eve. And he made known to unto them, the children of Adam and Eve, according to their faith, repentance, and holy works. Those works are only holy because Jesus Christ blesses them. All right? Faith, repentance. So that's from the day of Adam and Eve. Faith, repentance, and holy works. And covenants. They had covenants from the very beginning. And to Seth, to him the son hath been born, and calleth his name Enos. I don't know if you covered this today. And then was the beginning was made of preaching in the name of Jehovah. And this is a literal translation. So then at the beginning was made preaching in the name of Jehovah. In the margin, if you look in your margin of your King James, it will say, they begin to call themselves by the name of the Lord. They begin to call themselves, whatever word they used back then, Christians, Messiah. They begin to call themselves by the name of the Lord. Way back at the time of Enos, the gospel of Christ had faith, repentance, they made covenants, and then they lived according to his commandments. They all had that free, they all had that Spirit of God. They all had that, you know, it says, what was the first thing that they knew that they did wrong? They were naked. They had a conscience. From that time out, mankind has a conscience, and they know good from evil. They were to follow it with faith, hope, and charity. They knew that. Faithfulness unto God, a hope that they wanted to live with him someday, and being kind to our brothers and sisters and our neighbors, right? Right from the very beginning. It's changed little over the years, the gospel of Christ. At the time of Adam, and in the time of the Jews, 1,500 years at least later, it says, Deuteronomy, thou shalt love the Lord God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words, which I command thee this day, thou shalt be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Another commandment, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart, thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor, and suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against him, the children of thy people, but thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord thy God. That concept is the core of all the law and the prophets. It continues to be part of the core of Christianity today. Is our core that we'll love the God, and if we love the Lord our God, we'll keep his commandments. And what are his commandments? And the first fruits are repentance, and first fruits of repentance is baptism. And baptism cometh by faith. So it goes faith, repentance, baptism. Unto fulfilling the commandments. If we love the Lord, God will keep his commandments. Unto fulfilling the commandments bringeth remission of sin. The remission of sin bringeth meekness and the lowliness of heart. And because the meekness and lowliness of heart, he wants us to be humble when we do this. And I tell you what, if you're baptized in front of your peers, you're going to be humble. Bringeth meekness and lowliness of heart comes a visitation of the Holy Ghost. And the Comforter filleth with hope and perfect love, and love endurance by the diligence of prayer. That's faithfulness that we promise to do. Diligence unto prayer until the end shall come when all saints will dwell with God. If we went through those process, we're one of those saints. Not by our own righteousness, by Jesus Christ's righteousness. Last slide. Moroni 7:53. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all thy energy of the heart, thy heart, that they may that that ye may be filled with his love. It's his love, isn't it? Which he bestowed upon all the true followers of the Son, Jesus Christ. So it's Jesus Christ that gives us that love. You know, that's part, and he helps us grow within us. He works within us. And he bestowed upon all that are the true followers. Followers is a dirty word. It's work. It's doing the deeds of Jesus Christ. That we may become his sons of God. That when he shall appear, we shall be like him. What's he doing? He's molding us in his image by continuing the faithfulness of faith, hope, and charity. Where we shall see him as he is, and we shall have this hope, and if we may have this hope, that may purify us even as he is pure. So we have that hope that we want to live with him. We want to become like him. In that hope, he works within us, and he will purify us and mold us. Those that have gone before us, gone through that process all their life, you can tell. They are molded in his image. And you can tell, you know, I am amazed that all those that have gone before us, it's a pleasure to be part of that funeral, that we can talk so kindly about how they're molded in Christ's image. And that is the process as he's established on this earth. And so the gospel hasn't changed much over the course of the last 6,000 years or whatever, how many years we've been here. But I tell you, it's a process that must be done if we want to live with God the rest of our life. The law of Moses wasn't the problem. The Jews were the problem. They did not live according to what was taught them. And they missed Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Thank you for your time. Sister Mary.